Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live from Pittsburgh.
MLB fans, my name is Benson Spector. We have a new week upon us. It's March 7th, 2016. Another great Around the Horn episode. And guess what? We might even get to a little bit of arms to watch for. I'm thinking like a little new segment, add it in there, spice up the show. But we got a lot of baseball to cover in a short amount of time. So, with the new buzzer-style fans, if you're new to the show, every 2 minutes, I'm going to get into a topic, and there's going to be a buzzer again. That buzzer is to silence me, but, you know, if I have a quick thing to finish, I'll finish and then get to the next topic. But it is, like, our first week that we're not getting used to the buzzer. We're used to the buzzer. Let's get into it right away, talking about the Red Sox in our American League East and how Clay Buchholz allowed 4 runs, only 1 earned, though, on 3 hits and 3 walks, while striking out 2 and then 1 3rd innings against Baltimore on Sunday. He was not sharp, throwing more than half of his pitches outside of the strike zone. The positive spin is that there are mitigating circumstances to explain the poor results. The right-hander was making his first start since last July, his early training camp, and he didn't get great support in the field. So we're not discouraged by the outing, but neither are we encouraged. His next start is Friday, when Buchholz will be allowed to mix his curveball and cut fastball. I mean, I first look at it, I see 4 months. I'm like, that's a bad spring training outing. Then I look at it. 1 earned run. Okay, maybe the defense struggled. 1 earned run isn't that bad. I'll accept it. Keep reading. On 3 hits. Wow. I mean, 3 hits, pretty good outing. 3 hits, 1 earned run. That's not a bad outing. Then you go 3 walks. You're like, oh my gosh. I mean, 6 base runners, if there's some errors, obviously it makes sense why those 4 runs are there. And only striking out 2, you can't have 3 walks and 2 strikeouts in 1 3rd innings. That whip is through the roof. 3 hits and just like, I mean, I call it 1 inning. And then 3 walks? I mean, I get the 2 strikeouts were good, but that's just not good. And you can see through half of his pitches out of the strike zone, more than half of them. So he was really not sharp. I know he hasn't made a start since last July. I know I'm freaking out a bit here, but Clay Buchholz, come on, man. It's a bit troubling to see this early that he's this bad. He needs to improve on fire. I mean, maybe the fact that he wasn't on to those curveball, he wasn't on to those cut fastball, batters knew where they were going to see. But we need to see improvement out of Clay Buchholz for Red Sox fans. Let's move into our next guy, which is Starlin Castro, who is out of camp Monday after undergoing a root canal. And Castro had been experiencing tooth pain for a few days and finally had it checked out Sunday, which helped him discover the need for a root canal. They shouldn't keep him out too long as he works on becoming the Yankees' starting second baseman. Now, I've heard how painful a root canal is. And, I mean, this is sort of surprising because, like, most baseball players don't get held out because they have a TV injury, which is what the injury type is classified under. I mean, I'm glad he got checked out. I'm glad he got the procedure taken care of today. But I know it can take some time to recover from a root canal. My uncle's had it done on him. My dad's had it done on him. And I know they think it's painful. I mean, I have braces on right now. And I know how sore it is. And I know I just don't really want to do anything. Like, after I got my braces on, you know, when you get the wire tightened and everything. I don't know if that compares to getting a root canal. It might compare to getting the braces on, but I'm not really a tooth expert. I'm not a dentist. I know a couple dentists. Well, he's dead now, but I knew a dentist. I know they don't like you chewing gum. That's for sure. Just throwing out my pet peeves on dentistry here on a baseball show. Kind of funny. But we're supposed to be talking about Starlin Castro here. And now he's traded from the Cubs to the Yankees. and undergo the root canal. I mean, it's another one of those funky sprain training injuries that you're not really expecting. I think it's sort of cool that we have all these weird injuries. I mean, I've been talking about the weird avocado injury, and now you get this tooth root canal. It's strange. Spring training is strange, but it's fun. We actually get to see the players come out on the field. They get to play. We get to talk about baseball. And we get to talk about people undergoing root canals. Kind of funny. All right, we have to take a quick break on Inside MLB. When we come back, we're going to be moving to the National League East here on Inside MLB. And what that means for the Red Sox and their rotation. Talking about starting Castro and his root canal and these weird sprain training injuries that go on throughout and how fun it is to talk about, how fun it is to analyze. But now we got to move to the National League East and talk a little bit about the Nationals and how Ryan Zimmerman right now, he's working through some plantar fasciitis and is hoped to return in the next couple of weeks. Zimmerman hit a DL with plantar fasciitis. In June 2015, after doing it for most of the season to that point. So this could be a problem that takes a while to fully disappear. It is encouraging for those hoping Zimmerman would enter 2016 at will. Third baseman hasn't played more than 100 games in a season since 2013, and has averaged just 110 games per season since 2011. Now, again, I'm not a doctor. So when I see plantar fasciitis, I know you can stretch your toes and it like gets a muscle in your foot and that sort of like dispels the plantar fasciitis. But I really never had a foot injury, so I don't really know how painful it is. I mean, I know you always on your feet in baseball, it's like you can't move if you don't have good feet. So I can see why that'd be a problem for Ryan Zimmerman and the fact that he's been dealing with it since June of last year. And the fact he actually, that's the only time he went on the DL for it. But he was doing it for most of the season to that point. So we're talking about a year that's plantar fasciitis has been nagging at him. So the fact that he's 31 years of age, he's getting older, and, I mean, he's had a lot of injuries. He's prone to injury. This whole HGH scandal that came out, even though it's been proven wrong to this point, I mean, it's just not a good situation right now for Ryan Zimmerman. But now he had to move across the diamond from third base to first base, and his career's sort of been changed around. And again, this could be a problem that takes a while to fully disappear. I'm not a doctor, but what I do know, plantar fasciitis is not this thing that just goes away easily. It doesn't, I mean, it goes away naturally, but it's not like it's a quick process to get rid of plantar fasciitis. It's what I really know about it. And a lot of people thought Ryan Zimmerman would enter 2016 at full health, prove the HGH scandal wrong, come out there and have a good season. I mean, I still think he's going to have max out 20 home runs, 75 RBIs. But we'll see what Ryan Zimmerman's plan to appreciate. I hope he gets better. Let's move to our next guy, and that is David Hernandez of the Phillies, and how he was supposed to pitch Saturday, but did not as a precautionary measure. And right now, Hernandez, he's a favorite to close for the Phillies this season. He said Sunday that there's nothing wrong with him physically. He did not elaborate further, though, so we don't know what that means. But he said he expected to pitch in the middle or latter part of this week. He missed all of 2014, recovering from Tommy John surgery. So last year, David Hernandez, he came back from his Tommy John surgery, did not have a good year. You cannot say that. 4.28 ERA, 1.5 record, 1.31 whip, just not too good. And the fact that he's not pitching because of a precautionary measure. We don't know what this precautionary measure is. He said there's nothing wrong with him physically, so what kind of precautionary measure is it? I mean, could it be another arm thing? Could it be Tommy John? Could there be repercussions of it? Now, again, not a doctor, but I do know how it feels when you have a sore arm. I mean, you start throwing during the first throwing of the regular season, first throwing of the season. I mean, your arm's not at full strength, so I can see why there may be some precautionary measures here for David Hernandez. But if the Phillies want him a liable closer, I mean, he cannot be sitting out during the regular season due to a precautionary measure that he's not elaborating on. I mean, come on, David Hernandez. Tell the media the truth as to why you're not pitching. The CSN Philadelphia reported it's a precautionary measure, but he said, oh, there's nothing wrong, just in pitch Saturday. I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. I just don't. I know he was on the Diamondbacks last year, in 2015. He returned to the bullpen in June. But, it's encouraging to see that he'll be part of this week. But we'll see what we get out of David Hernandez, and hopefully he'll be able to close well for the Phillies in the 2016 season. Let's talk about how manager Pete Maconin said Sunday that the Phillies still expect Jared Eichhoff, who has a thumb injury, to be ready to pitch during the first week of the season. Eichhoff, he threw his hitters again Sunday, and he hopes to make his first spring training appearance by the end of this week. He suffered a small fracture in his right thumb on a bunt attempt on February 11th. Come on, Jared. Again, weird injuries happening in spring training. What can I say? Pitchers, I mean, the PFP, pitcher fielding practice. Pitchers hate that, by the way. And now this whole Jared Eichhoff thumb fracture thing. And it was a small fracture, that's what I know. But you're bunting on February 11th and you fracture your thumb. Jared, I don't think you should be bunting this year. Your team would rather have you on the mound than trying to bunt and then fracturing your thumb. Now, I'm sorry about this, but I don't know what thumb he fractured. I don't know really much about this whole thumb sound. I keep saying I'm not a doctor, because, I mean, all the things we're talking about now have to do with injuries. And I'm not an expert on the injuries. I tried to become an expert. I worked to become an expert. But a lot of spring training stuff has to do with injuries. Has to do with, oh, this guy's plantar fasciitis, so this guy, precautionary measure. I'm just lost. But let's talk about the Phillies. And the Phillies are an exciting team, you know. Pete Maconin, our manager, comes in. It's going to be a struggle this year, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as most people think. I mean, the Phillies are a step there. I mean, they have a lot of young, solid talent. Del Franco. Phillies are a solid team. They just have to be patient, and they will be good coming up here. Let's move to the Marlins, another team in the National League East. And now Giancarlo Stanton was held out Monday with a sore. So, details regarding the setback, they're really slim right now, but it appears the Marlins want to prevent him from traveling. Simply, they wanted him to not come today. They didn't want him to play today. That he should be considered day-to-day, I think, at this point, until he returns to the field. But at this point, if it doesn't seem this injury, we'll start his stats for opening day. All right. So when you think of Giancarlo Stanton's power, now he's been injured. If Giancarlo Stanton can stay on the field, he can be one of the biggest forces in the game. He can hit 45 home runs easily, 115 RBIs, bat 275. He's going to be a great guy. I mean, he can even steal double-digit bases. 10, 15 steals. He is so exciting. When the ball flies off his bat, it's just like, wow, you're in awe. You're in awe of his height, too. but he missed 88 games last year. I mean, everybody loves him. Everybody just wants to see him on the field. Everybody wants him to succeed. He could be the face of baseball. Now, if Giancarlo Stanton would actually stay in the field, I pray. I mean, he might be able to beat Barry Bonds' record. All he has to do is just stay on the field. Stay healthy. But he is injured again. And if he doesn't return to the field, he'll be considered day-to-day. It won't threaten his stats for opening day, but he'll probably still have this sore knee. Because even though you're able to play through it, it's probably still sore. And you have to realize that if you're out there. Just because your favorite player's on the field doesn't mean he's not sore somewhere. Everybody's sore somewhere in the season. Maybe not on opening day, maybe not on spring training, but everybody's sore. Giancarlo Stanton, I don't know if he's weak or just gets injured a lot. He's 6'6", 242, by the way. That's huge. All right, we have to take a quick break on Inside MLB. When we come back, we're going to be moving to the American League Central and around the horn right here on blogtalkradio.com. Talking about the East. We made it to the East. We were talking about nationally. We were talking about Brian Zimmerman, his working through his plans to appreciate. He's hoping to get ready for opening day. Talking about David Hernandez and his precautionary measure. It's nothing physical, but you never know. We've been talking about Jared Eichhoff and his thumb, but he will be ready for opening day. And Giancarlo Stanton being held out with a sore knee, but should, again, be ready for opening day. It's now time to move to the central part of the country. And we're going to start off in Minnesota with the Minnesota Twins and how Glenn Perkins threw a scoreless inning with a strikeout and starting a spring training win over Tampa Bay. He's thrown two scoreless innings with two strikeouts this spring. And Perkins looks healthy after a bulging disc in his neck, causing the struggle in the final 2 months of last season. Perkins enters the season as Minnesota's closer and is secure in the role, but his durability remains a worry and he's broken down in the second half of the past 2 seasons. So he's going to score any today with a strikeout. That's all you can ask for out of your closer in spring training. I mean, that's not something to get excited over if you're a Twins fan, but the fact that the bulging disc in his neck hurt him the last 2 months of the season, this is good news for the Twins. And I'm happy for Glenn Perkins, and I'm glad that Glenn Perkins is doing well, you know? It's just nice to see. It's nice to see somebody who can come off an injury, come into spring training, work his butt off in the offseason, get down to Florida or down to Texas, wherever your spring training is, and just do well. It's nice. Two scoreless innings in spring training action started the 28th. So we are 9 days into spring training action. That's all you can ask for. I'm happy about Glenn Perkins, but even though he is secure in the closer's role right now, even though he had 32 saves last year, even though I think he'll get, 35 saves this year of a sub-3 ERA, his durability really is a question now at this point in his career. He's 33 years old. Again, you never want to be on the wrong side of 30, and he's well into that wrong side of 30. And the fact that he's broken down in the second half of the past few seasons, I mean, If you look at the numbers, hello, we should have good seasons. But if you look at the first half and the second half, if he stays on his first half the past two seasons, he'd be one of the best closers in baseball. He'd be considered that. He'd be considered among the elite. But he's not, because of the fact that he comes out there. I think he uses too much of himself. I think he needs to pace himself this year. He's getting older, so it's going to be harder and harder and harder. You don't want to be on that wrong side of 30. And the fact that he is already on the wrong side of 30, and the fact that has this neck injury, I'm glad it's not an arm injury, though, because if it's an arm injury, old guys, well, it's not old, but, like, guys over 30 with arm problems tend to not do so well. But the fact that it's his neck, which is a dangerous place to have an injury. Bulging disc isn't that bad, but it's still an injury. Let's move to another Twins player. His name is Byung-ho Park. He went 1-for-4 with a grand slam on Sunday spring training win over Tampa Bay. And he's 2-for-11 in 4 games this spring. Park, he really struggled in his first game. He had 3 strikeouts. But Sunday, he displayed the power. They'll hit more than 50 home runs in each of the last 2 seasons in South Korea. Park is expected to get a heavy amount of playing time in spring training to adjust to MLB pitching. He's likely to begin the season as Minnesota's starting DH. But it's possible he could begin the season in the minors if he struggles. So I look at this, and what I see is you have a guy that goes 1-for-4 at the Grand Slam. And the fact that Byung-ho Park, I was just like, yes, another Korean guy coming over here. And I went on spring training last year, and Jung-ho Gon comes up to bat for the Pirates. Stands the Blue Jays in Dunedin. It's a beautiful stadium. And it's actually where a lot of people get married, which I was surprised. I've never heard of Dunedin, Florida. But it's a nice little town in Florida, just like all these spring training towns. They're nice. But Jung-ho Gon comes up to bat, and he hits a home run. I'm like, wow. I know this guy had pop, but I didn't think he'd have pop this soon. I know it's 4 games in. It's not the same as Jung-ho Gon. And Byung-ho Park is 29 years old, so he's not a young guy. I like the Grand Slam. Came up in the clutches. I mean, when you have the base leader, you're like, come on, hit this home run, hit this home run. And he did it, so I'm happy for Byung-ho. But then I looked through the box scores, and 2-for-11? That's not good. Here, let me calculate his batting average. 2-for-11, what would that be? I know it's pretty low. 181. Okay, I was going to say 118. That would have been so low. But 181, that's unacceptable. If he hits 181, he will definitely start the season in the minors. I know he's adjusting, but Byung-ho Park has to do better if he wants a chance to be a force with the Minnesota Twins. I was moving to the Indians, and a good sign. Michael Brantley is cleared to continue with his hitting program after a follow-up examination on Sunday. The exam appears to be a planned follow-up. And all signs of spring regarding Brantley's chances of a mid-April return, they've really been encouraging. The Indians are woefully thin in the outfield, putting added importance on Brantley's return to full health in the coming weeks. So Brantley, he has a shoulder injury. I think it's good that he's been cleared to continue with his hitting program. Now, I'm glad this exam is a scheduled follow-up, because if it wasn't, it's never good when a player goes in for an exam and it's not scheduled. But I think this is good. The hitting program, he'll continue to rehab his shoulder, because in the hitting program that he has, I mean, it's mostly getting that torque, because when you swing a baseball bat, you are working that shoulder hard. A lot of the power comes from the twist of your shoulder. It comes from your shoulder. Well, most of it comes from your legs, but your shoulder has a lot to do with it. You know, you're swinging it hard. You're torquing it. So it's moving around a lot, and if that gets hurt and it's not able to move freely, it might not be the best season for Michael Brantley, which I want to see him have a great season. Everybody in Cleveland wants to see him have a great season, and Cleveland has really been deprived. They've really been deprived. The Browns suck. Cavaliers are good, but they're not going to be the Warriors. And the Indians, you know, they're hanging around. Cleveland wants a championship so bad. And Michael Brantley is the guy that they expect to lead them to their championship. So, if Michael Brantley can't do that and he has a bad return in mid-April, it's going to be a discouraging sign for many Indians fans. Now, a lot of people are picking Central, so we'll see what we get out of the Indians in 2016. Let's move to the White Sox now and how Mike Bolt cleared waivers and was outrighted AAA Charlotte on Monday. So, Olt, he was asking for assignment Sunday to make room for the recently acquired Austin Jackson. So this move just finishes the process as he accepts Smith to AAA rather than becoming a free agent. Now that he's in the minors, he'll slot into third baseman for the AAA club, acting as the organizational depth at hot corner. Now, if I'm Michael, he had a bad year last year, honestly. Batting 191, 4 home runs, 5 RBIs. That's bad for the Cubs. So, when they signed Austin Jackson, it was no doubt in anybody's mind that Michael did not belong on the Big League club. So, the fact that he's designated for assignment, I mean, it makes sense that nobody picks him up. And honestly, if he was a free agent, I don't think anybody would pick him up. Smartest move for him to do is stay in AAA, Charlotte, work your way back up to the big leagues, and try to have a decent year. So we organizational depth. So one injury, one thing. And there's also DH on this side of Chicago, not on the other side, Mike. So you could possibly be a DH too. So that's more encouraging for Mike Holt. Now for Austin Jackson, again, I wouldn't be mad at Austin Jackson with him because Austin Jackson can help out that team. But you have to be looking at Austin Jackson like, hey, come on my team, take my spot. That's going to be a little bit of resentment towards him. But I don't think a lot. You know, I mean, people understand it nowadays. You more understand. But if you look at it, people are more mad nowadays. So, I think he'll do well in AAA because he's still relatively young, so he still has time. We'll see, hopefully, better days out of Mike Holt in the future. Let's talk about a guy who is on the big league roster, but a guy who could be losing some playing time. His name is Adam LaRouche. He could be losing playing time in the wake of the team signing of Austin Jackson on Sunday. While LaRouche, he does not play the outfield, Jackson's arrival will push one of the club's corner outfielders to the DH spot on a more regular basis. Jackson starts figures to come most frequently against left-handed pitchers, and LaRouche might have sat against his starters anyway. So I don't really know what to think about this. Adam LaRouche is 36 years old now, and he doesn't play the outfield anymore. So he is a DH mainly. That's really what he does. So Austin Jackson, he's going to go right to the outfield, and he's going to start against left-handed hitters. And their corner outfielders are good. Melky Cabrera, obviously Aiel Garcia. So they are going to be in the lineup over Adam LaRouche. Simply put, them in the lineup over Adam LaRouche. But Adam LaRouche, most of the time, would have sat against left-handed hitters, mainly because he had a 383 OPS against them in 2015. So that's really not that good. That's awful, actually. So the fact that Adam LaRouche will be playing first base and DH, no outfield, Jose Abreu, they'll be interchangeable, first base, DH. So this definitely hurt Adam LaRouche because they are not going to sit Jose Abreu over Adam LaRouche. And you see what happens there. Adam LaRouche is forced to the bench. When he came to the White Sox, you not think he'd be a bench player. You think he'd be a starter. You think he'd be in the lineup every day. So for Adam LaRouche, it's necessarily good news. It's actually bad news. It's Austin Jackson signing. I mean, Austin Jackson sort of hurting everybody here. He's hurting Mike Holt, since he was the one that was outrighted to AAA. It's hurting Adam LaRouche, even though Adam LaRouche has a back injury. So we'll see what happens out of Austin Jackson. And he better do well if he wants to keep everybody happy in the Chicago clubhouse. All right, we have to take a quick break on Inside MLB. But when we come back, we are going to be moving to the National Central to talk about all the teams there, everything that's important that you might want to know if you're a National League Central fan. That's next. right, so we've been talking about the American League Central. Glenn Perkins, his fourth inning, he's been doing well. He's been training thus far. The Underhill Park struggle win, but he got a grand slam in Sunday's win. Michael Brantley could be cleared with his hitting program. Mike Ault, Adam Roche, both being hurt by Austin Jackson. And yeah, so that's the American League Central. A little bit of summary there. So let's move to the National League Central. And we're first going to start in Cincinnati with how Devin Mesoraco, his spring debut has been delayed by a groin issue. And again, this was a minor groin issue. And he said, I would say we've slowed things down a little bit. It's not anything alarming. It's a little bit slower just to give me a little more time to do everything a little more. I would say within the next 7 to 10 days, I'll be out there. So the 27-year-old, he tried his best to ease any concern, describing the discomfort as a very small, minimal amount of groin and hip flexor tightness and soreness, and adding that it's something doctors said would probably happen. Now, more than 8 months recovered from surgery, temporary torn labrum in his left hip, Mesoraco has been able to hit and catch on the side and participate in team drills throughout their early stages of camp. So, Devin Mesoraco, he was hurt all last year. He didn't really play. So, the fact he was supposed to debut this weekend, I believe. Oh, yeah, he's supposed to debut on Saturday, I think. But the fact that now he's doing it 7 to 10 days, you might not see him until March 14th or the 17th. You might not see him until St. Paddy's Day. Wow. I mean, I credit the young 27-year-old trying to ease the concern of the media, trying to ease the concern of fans. I mean, I don't think Reds fans were really hoping for that big of a season. But when they're done rebuilding, Devin Mesoraco is probably still going to be there. And they're going to want it to be a big part of that team. So if you want Devin Mesoraco to be a big part of your team, this is not really helping you out. Seeing this injury affect him this much, even though it's been 8 months since this happened. I mean, come on, Devin. He's a small-town guy out of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. If you know anything about Punxsutawney, that's where Punxsutawney Phil lives. Wow, you're good at guessing. But he added, though, which I think would be better for everybody here. The doctor said this would happen. They said there would be this groin and hip flexor tightness, there would be the soreness. And I get it. I mean, he's a catcher. I mean, he's going to be squatting. And the fact that it's tight down there, so he doesn't want to hurt himself in spring training. That would just be even worse than anything, I think. Hurting yourself in spring training? Man, that would be bad. Again, he had the surgery because of a torn labrum in his left hip. So, I don't know if this groin thing, I know the groin is literally right next to the hip, if you know your body parts. But the groin thing could possibly be new. It could be. So be skeptical of things with Devin Mesoraco. I don't think he's going to have as good a season as everybody had. Think he's going to have. 2014 was a good year for him. Obviously, lost season last year. But people were thinking of a comeback for him. Now I'm just sitting here. I'm thinking, Devin Mesoraco, is he really going to come back? Is he really going to do well? I'm just thinking. And the fact that this might be alarming and this whole new groin thing, I know, again, it's right next to the hip, right next to the hip. But it could be something to worry about if you're a Reds fan. And that's not good. All right, let's move to our next player. And that is Johnny Peralta. And he left camp on Monday. And news coming out, he'll be out 2 to 3 months after undergoing an MRI on his left thumb today. I mean, early indications are that he likely tore a ligament. Again, he could miss 2 or 3 months. I mean, really, this timing is extremely unfortunate for the Cardinals, who may have been interested in bringing another player like Ian Desmond as a replacement had the injury occurred a week earlier. Instead, they'll likely have to look in-house with Aldemir Diaz, Jay Jerko, and Greg Garcia, being the most obvious potential villains. Of course, there's always a possibility of bringing in outside help. But the Cardinals figure to wait until they have an official recovery timetable before considering their options. Alright, honestly, the Cardinals are just the kings of bad luck. Lance Lynn, Tommy John surgery, goodbye. Jason Hayward, Cubs are like, I'm going to steal Jason Hayward and John Mackey. They're gone. Tommy Garcia, he is very fragile. He could be goodbye. Carlos Martinez, some things have been screwed with him. He could be goodbye. Adam Wainwright, you never know what could happen to him, and he could be goodbye. Randall Grichik, Stephen Piscotty, they have a lot of pressure on themselves. What if they don't do well? They won't be goodbye, but they will not be playing well. Matt Holliday, what happens to him if he gets hurt again? He's old. He could be goodbye. Yadier Molina, the thumb injury. What if that happens again? He could be goodbye. Matt Adams, hurt last year. What if he gets hurt again? He could be goodbye. I mean, Colton Wong is really the only staple, I think, right now in this organization. Jeez. Matt Carpenter are going to need to step up this year if the Cardinals want a chance of competing, I believe. Watch out, you're a Cardinals fan, because this year could be a bad year for you. Let's move to Yadier Molina and the Cardinals and how he could actually start taking dry swings this week and may even see some action behind the plate in the Grapefruit League within the next week. Wow. I mean, his opening day status has been a bit of a question mark, but it appears he's ahead of schedule after having surgery on his thumb last October. Again, he's a veteran backstop. He hasn't had any setbacks thus far, and there appears to be a very real chance that he'd be ready to go on opening day for the Cardinals. This is good for the Cardinals. Again, I just talked about how they could be a bad team this year, and it all depends on health. Again, every team, if they have injuries, probably wants to keep. The Cardinals, though, they're like an outlier. They have a ton of injuries last year, and what do? They go 162. Wow. It's just amazing what the Cardinals are able to do year in and year out with Yadier Molina. He's 33 years old now, but Yadi, he really has to stay on the field. Again, Colton Wong, Matt Carpenter, they're the staples right now of this organization, I think. Yadier Molina needs to step in there because if he's not there, they lost Tony Cruz to the Kansas City Royals. We talked about that a bit earlier in past weeks on the show. So no longer is Tony Cruz a backup for them. He's on the Royals. He'll be backing up Salvador Perez now, who's the best catcher in the game. It's funny. Tony Cruz goes from backing up Yadier Molina, considered the best catcher in the game, to backing up Salvador Perez, the new best catcher in the game. But Yadi, honestly, you have to stay healthy. You just have to. Because if you're not, again, the Cardinals can be in trouble. Johnny Peralta, he's hurt. He's going to be out 2 to 3 months. You never know what you're going to do again. Yadier Molina, it's great you're ahead of schedule, but no setbacks. Or Cardinals fans are really going to start questioning their organization. Let's move to our next player, which is Scooter Jeanette of the Brewers. We talked about him last week, but he is still dealing with his sore shoulder. He will undergo further testing on this injured shoulder, but the team is not concerned about his status at this time. But the thing is, the Brewers are obviously worried enough about Jeanette's health to send him for more tests. But it would seem they still believe he could be ready to play opening day. Expect the team to provide an update on his health once the results of his latest exams come back. So originally, we thought this whole Scooter Jeanette shoulder thing, there was nothing, right? Well, it's obviously something. The Brewers are obviously worried enough to send for further testing. I mean, it's not why they just send a healthy guy for further testing. It just doesn't work like that. But this could be bad news for the Brewers because they just traded Jean Segura. I know they got Aaron Hill back, but Scooter Jeanette's supposed to be the second baseman of the future. He had a bad year last year. They need a good year out of him for their development in this rebuild that they're undergoing right now. And again, I think Jonathan Villar is on that team. He could jump right in. So I'm not saying this is good news for Jonathan Villar, but if you are Jonathan Villar, you have to be ready to come in a moment's notice for Scooter Gennett. Because again, we saw Johnny Peralta with this MRI that he had, and then he comes back out 2 to 3 months. The Brewers don't want that happy with Scooter Gennett. They want a full healthy season out of him, see what he can do. Hopefully they want him to rebound. They desperately want him to rebound. It's not a necessity, but it's a high want on their wish list. Because when you're a rebuilding team, all you want to see, especially if you're a fan, is your young players under the age of 30 do well. And Scooter Gennett is one of those players. Let's move to our next Brewer on this list. His name is Reimer Laureano. He is 2-for-5 with a run, an RBI, and 2 walks in 3 spring training games with the Brewers thus far. So Laureano, he's one of the many candidates for the Brewers' center field job. Their most crowded spring training competition. He's definitely making a strong case for his services, as both of his hits were extra base hits, and his plate discipline is fairly good thus far. 2-for-5? I know 5 at bats is not a lot, but that's making a statement. He's 24 years old, so again, I'm going to stress this. For the Brewers, you want guys under the age of 30 doing well. And if you're a Brewers fan, you're thinking Brian Malia and he'd be part of this team for a while. It's good. 2-for-5. Scored a run. Had an RBI. Walked twice. So if you put that into on-base percentage, what you get is 4-for-7. Originally, you have a 400 batting average. His OBP, though, rises to 571. That's impressive. Even though it's 7 at-bats. 7 plate appearances, my bad. 7 plate appearances is not a lot, but if you're a fan and you're looking at box scores, check out Reimer, because he could be a part of your team, and I think he is a great candidate to win the center field job. Again, if you are a big Brewers fan or somebody who's listening to the show, you're like, where's Carlos Gomez? Well, he's turning to the Astros. Reimer Laureano could be your center fielder of the future. Again, he's not going to have a 571 OBP all spring. He's not even going to have a 571 during the season, right? Probably not a 400 batting average, but it's encouraging what we're seeing out of Reimer Laureano thus far for the Brewers this spring. Let's move to our next player. His name is Yadiel Rivera. He's 4-for-9 with 3 extra base hits for the Brewers' first 4 spring training games. So Rivera, he's really gotten off to an excellent start to spring training between his 2 home runs and positional versatility around the infield. He's competing for a spot on the Brewers bench as a utility infielder, and he'll have a good chance of garnering that spot if he can keep this torrid pace going throughout spring training. Again, we were just talking about Scooter Gennett, right? Well, this guy is 2 years younger than him, and he's also a second baseman. That's his main position. So the fact that he's 4-for-9, he has 2 home runs and an extra base hit to go with that. Wow. Let's do the math. 4 divided by 9. That's a 444 batting average. Impressive. Remarkable, right? Again, Brewers fans, Scooter Gennett being out is not the end of the world. I mean, you want to see him do well because he's a bit older, a bit more developed. But Yadier Rivera could easily hop right in there. He could easily be the second baseman in the future for the Brewers. You have great guys on this team. Reimer Laureano, Scooter Gennett, Yadier Rivera, all guys under 30 who I want to see succeed. I want to see the Brewers get back into it. I want to see a competitive National League Central. And like, Benson, you're a Pirates fan, right? Why do you want to see a competitive National League Central? Because it's fun to see the Pirates compete against good teams. I'd rather the Brewers be a good team and the Pirates beat them than the Brewers be a bad team and the Pirates beat them. Either way, I want the Pirates to beat them, but I want them to be a good team still. And the fact that it's encouraging signs that we're seeing our Reimer Laureano, Yadier Rivera, it's just nice to see what we can get out of these young players as the Brewers are getting, and their rebuild is off to a nice start. But we'll see what we get out of the Brewers in 2015, 2016, and beyond. All right, fans, we'll take a break on Inside MLB. When we come back, we are going to be moving to the National League West. Now you may be thinking, what happened to the American League West? Well, over the weekend, there wasn't much that happened in the American League West. So we'll go right to the National League West, where there's not that much to talk about either. But we'll get to it. And honestly, we're going to be spending the rest of the show, in case you want to know, talking about Hyunjin Ryu, because he's interesting. That's next. Talking about the National League Central, right? The Reds, Devin Mesoraco, and this groin issue that sort of new, even though the hip's right next to it, give Johnny Peralta to the sad news. Left camp today. He's out 2 to 3 months. But good news, Yadier Molina's ahead of schedule. For the Brewers, you see Scooter Jeanette dealing with his sore shoulder. But some good news, Brian Mariano competing for the center field job. He's doing well. And possibly Scooter Jeanette's replacement, Yadier Rivera. 4-for-9 so far this spring training. So good things out of Brewers camp. But now, and guess what? No more buzzer. I feel like I'm relieved. Like, there's no pressure on me now. We can just talk about Hyunjin Ryu and how he resumes throwing. And sort of just the Dodgers as a whole and the rotation and everything that we can expect out of the Dodgers this year. I just want to take some time and talk about it. Get the shoulder into right now. Is my mic working? So he has a shoulder injury right now. And the Dodgers said over the weekend that there was no set date for Ryu to resume throwing. But it appears no one involved had to wait that long, as he was able to pick up a ball again today. Ryu still has a ways to go before he is back at 100%, but his preparation for the regular season is again in motion. At this point, it's looking like his 2016 debut will come at some point in mid to late May. So, let's get into a little of his outlook for the year, right? He was shut down in March after experiencing soreness in his left shoulder. Again, he was originally expected to return it in May, but the discomfort lingered, and Ryu ultimately underwent surgery to repair his labrum. Labrum repairs, they can be tricky if you don't know what they are. But Ryu started a throwing program in October, and the organization expects optimism that he would return to his prior form. That form has yielded a career 3.17 ERA and 56 starts and saw peripherals, 7.7 strikeouts per nine and 2 walks per nine. Ryu relies on a 90 to 92 mile per hour fastball, a slider, and an excellent changeup. The Dodgers hope he can be their number 4 or at worst number 5 starter in 2016. Though team president Andrew Friedman has called Ryu a so-called wild card, he'll likely come as a surprise to most people because given the missed time, but all of the early indicators, they point to Ryu opening the season and the rotation. And again, he did not throw a bullpen Saturday, which was expected, but again, it's just good. He's throwing it in. Again, mid-May is what people are thinking, but the fact that he's back to throwing off the mound. And I know he began his throwing program in October. Like, why is he shut down? Well, he wasn't necessarily shut down. He was just not throwing off the mound. And he's finally throwing his bullpen today. So, I mean, he may even appear in a spring training game. I doubt it. But good things for the Dodgers because Hyunjin Ryu. Number four, number five starter. That's not that bad. At worst, I said at worst, a number five starter. And I was really surprised when Andrew Freeman said he's a wild card. Are you kidding? 3.17 ERA. How is that a wild card? If you're optimistic, Andrew Freeman, that he can return to his prior form, then why are you saying he's a wild card? I know you just picked up Kent Tomato. I know you just picked up Scott Kazmir. I know you have Brett Anderson, who was fantastic for you last year. But come on. 3.17 ERA. Excellent changeup. I mean, his fastball, it's not going to light up the radar gun, but it's still good, 90 to 92 miles per hour. The slider's nice. 7.7 strikeouts per nine. 2 walks per nine. I mean, he's a solid start every time out. He gives you quality starts. You know, the new Jack quality starts. He gets you a lot of those. A lot of them. And all the early indicators right now are pointing to him opening the season in the rotation. It's just a thing. I mean, he could even accelerate. He could be on the opening day roster. He could be scheduled to start the fourth game of the year, the fifth game of the year. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm sort of mad at Andrew Freeman. Come on. You gotta see him. I know. Shut down last year with this soreness in his shoulder. Originally, expected to return last May. And now he's expected to return this May. Had the labrum. The labrum's tricky to recover from. But Hyunjin Ryu is doing a great job. A fantastic job recovering. So you have to see that. You have to pour all your attention. Make him feel happy about himself. Make him feel good about himself. Because Hyunjin Ryu deserves it. He really does. Because the Dodgers, they lose Zach Greinke. Oh, they're like, okay, we'll get Kent Tomato, Scott Kazmir. But what about a good return from Hyunjin Ryu? Why can't Andrew Freeman say, yeah, that's what we're hoping for. That's what we want. Those three guys, yeah, they can replace Zach Greinke. I know it's 3-1. It's not the same thing. But they can sort of play like Zach Greinke can play. All in together, I think equals one Zach Greinke. Kent Tomato, Scott Kazmir, Hyunjin Ryu, they need to come together and form a solid rotation. That's Clayton Kershaw, Kent Tomato, Scott Kazmir, Hyunjin Ryu, Brett Anderson. It could be great. It could be fantastic. It could be like Zach Greinke never left. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but honestly, they could come together. They could bond together and become one of the most threatening groups in all baseball. You don't necessarily have to pay a guy $206.5 million over 6 years to be the best rotation in the big leagues. We saw the Cardinals, they didn't pay their guys the most. Pirates, they had a great rotation last year. They certainly didn't pay their guys the most. It's all about getting the talent. I think they did a great job when they went out and got Kent Tomato. I think they did a great job when they got and got Scott Kazmir. But this is the time. The time is now for the Dodgers. I think with Zach Greinke, it was great having them. But I think they might have even better chemistry this year. Because Zach Greinke, let's be honest, he's an ace. Can anybody tell me that Zach Greinke's not an ace? Exactly, you can't. Put him in any rotation, he'll be the ace. Put him in the Dodgers rotation, he'll be number two. There's a large distinction between staff ace, that's like the Eiffel Tower. Number two, that's like the middle school. There are two different entities, two different things. Especially if like a number two guy, you know, could be Bartolo Colon. Let's compare. Zach Greinke, Bartolo Colon. Who is better? There's no doubt you're going to tell me Zach Greinke. But if Bartolo Colon was the number two, and Zach Greinke was the number two, and you didn't know anything about baseball, you weren't an alien. Who would you tell me is better? Exactly. You wouldn't know. Now, Bartolo Colon, he's not going to be number two. But at one point in his career, he was actually an ace for the Mets. He was number two for the Mets. He was an ace of the Athletics. He was number two of the Athletics. Or Scott Kazmir was. So you're telling me, Bartolo Colon, Zach Greinke, same people, same talents. No. Bartolo Colon's fat. He's funny when he pitches. He's funny for the media to analyze and just laugh about. Zach Greinke's dominant, sharp, throws pitches. Have a sub-2 ERA. Two different people, two different entities, two different players all together. And when you throw Zach Greinke into the Dodgers rotation, you see him as number two, not an ace. And I think it's going to be good. Because Clayton Kershaw, it's all about chemistry. Clayton Kershaw's the ace, right? Then behind him, Scott Kazmir. He's never been an ace. Kenta Maeda, he was an ace in Japan, but he's not going to be an ace anywhere. Anywhere. In the big leagues. Then you have Brett Anderson. He's not going to be an ace. He's never been an ace. Then, Hyun-Jin Ryu. He's never been an ace. And you get a good rotation. You have guys fitting where they're supposed to be fitting. Clayton Kershaw. What is he supposed to be? He's supposed to be the staff ace. What are all other four guys to be? They're supposed to be in their supporting roles behind the staff ace, learning from the great Clayton Kershaw. Not Zach Greinke learning from Clayton Kershaw, because honestly, it was the other three guys in the rotation learning from Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw. But who are they supposed to look up to? It was just so many egos. Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke. Who was the guy? Now the guy is there. The guy is firmly cemented in. And his name is Clayton Kershaw. Wow. I got a lot out there. But guess what? The show is slowly but surely coming to an end. Wow, we had a great show today, you know? The Pirates, tough loss, 1-0. I got to watch it at lunch today for the last 10 minutes. Got to watch a bit in art for the first part of the class. And got to watch it at the end of art. So, it was a great time today. I mean, a lot of baseball. Baseball is in full swing. And it's just exciting. I'm sweating right now. So much baseball. So little time. You just got to get everything in. I'm like shaking, jittery. So excited to do the show. I will see you tomorrow. Wednesday, my bad. 7:30 to 8:30. Go to the website, MLBinside.com. My name is Benson Vector. Have a wonderful Monday night.